This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay, welcome to the Underground, everybody. Kind of cold outside, huh? Especially when you're like me, you've lost your winter coat. I already look kind of ill. Thank you, Glenna, for that wonderful worship. It was so relaxing. It was like a massage, you know. It was really nice. I'd like to dedicate this session tonight to people that are in the struggle, people that are experiencing inner conflict and struggles within themselves around a particular habit or any kind of inner turmoil, things that they need to work out within themselves. Because we are all like sons and daughters of God, and we are also becoming sons and daughters of God at the same time. But I feel like tonight I want to lay out a perspective that I think will be very, very helpful. And for me, it's a really important perspective I have to visit time and time and again. We get to see in Romans chapter 7, Paul's inner conflict and his struggle. In fact, the heading of this passage says, you know, Paul's struggle with sin, you know, and we get to watch him work out his struggle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We get to see how it's walked out in a way of looking at it that I find very encouraging. So Romans 7:14, he's basically going to open up this passage by making the statement that there's nothing wrong with God's law. Nothing wrong with what God wants and his standard. The problem is with himself. This is what Paul is saying. And so he opens up by saying, the trouble is not with the law. It is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. I am all too human, a slave to sin. And Paul just called himself a slave to sin. And this is after Paul was called to be an apostle by God himself. This is after Paul had been a Christian for many, many years. Paul had reached this place where the way he saw himself and his view of himself wasn't as a born again, like I'm born again. He didn't see himself as a brand new person. He wasn't seeing himself as holy and without blame. He wasn't seeing himself as righteous. He was seeing himself as a slave to sin. He had a very negative self-image in this opening verse here. We can see in this passage here that it is possible to feel very insecure as a person, to feel worthless, and to feel very insignificant in God being able to use us, and the truth be the very opposite. So the next verse he says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And that's Romans 7:15 there. And so that's basically a statement of a loss of control. I don't know if you relate to that statement he just made. I relate to it all too well. It's really addiction in so many ways. But we go on to verse 16 here. And he says something that's very interesting. You're going to see a really important shift here. It's a very subtle shift, but a very important shift where Paul begins to realize something. He says, if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. And this is where I believe the Holy Spirit's working through Paul in a powerful way here, because what he's saying there is, so wait a minute, not all of me agrees with what's going on. Not all of me is into this sin thing. There's a part of me that isn't about this sin thing. Okay, so he begins to see this. And let me go ahead and put it on the board. I think I said this was going to be the last night I was going to use this diagram, right? Isn't that what I said? Okay, I said like after this one, maybe. Let me just use this one last time. Check it out. When we become Christians, we become a brand new person. We are born from above. not from human passion or plan, but we are born of God Himself. We're brand new persons. We are right with God. And that brand new person has the same relationship with God as Jesus had. In our communication with Him, in our relationship with Him, we are brand new persons made right with God. It's a powerful thing. It's a gift that God brings us. But I still have all my history, my personality, the old ways. I have negatives in my personality, all the memories I have of my upbringing, the habits I've formed, the ways I operate. And these, in recovery terms, are like defects of character, shortcomings, and wrongs, and that kind of stuff. And they all have a belief system around them that holds them in place. And I also have some positives, right, in here. So I have both. And these things are housed in a body just like that. So I have this diagram I have. So who I am is redeemed. This new person I've been made, this inner man, this new man, that little red triangle, is holy. God calls him a saint. That's your true identity. I am redeemed. But he's living. Look where he's living. He's living in a body that is not. And that's the situation we're looking at here. And there's times that my body and my soul will gang up on this new man and begin to try to do like a hostile takeover. So from this diagram here, now that I have it on the board, we'll go on to the next verse and just check out what he says here. He says, so I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that's doing it. This is what Paul's saying. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that's doing it. It's this outer man. It's this old presence. It's this leftover residue of the old me that's in every cell of this body, this selfishness that's doing it, which is a profound statement. He says here, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. So you can see it here, this diagram really comes alive. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. And he goes on to say, I want to do what is right, right? But I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. You see this back and forth? He says, so I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me. He says it twice. And so this gives us kind of the principle of when we find ourselves in a loss of control, like I'm out of control, like Paul found himself, the first thing we have to do is identify who I really am. That it's not me. It's not me, the brand new person God has created, that's doing this. It's sin living in me that's doing it. And this is a really important thing. You know, could you imagine if you went home from vacation and the electricity in your home didn't work? And you found out that as you opened up things and checked it out, like rats ate all the electrical wires in your home. And your wife looked at you and said, how come you did that? How come you ate all the electrical wires in your home? You know, you'd be like, I didn't do it. It's the rats, right? This is the picture that we're getting here. And the flesh, the selfish nature, is our old way of living. It's basically us without God. How I'm going to live without God. And all the ways I developed to get my own needs met, my own way, however we've formed those habits. This sounds kind of like a cop-out, doesn't it? Like, it's not me doing wrong, it's sin living in me. Like, if I told my wife that. Or let's just say I'm driving down the road, and I'm in a stolen car, and the cops pulled me over, and it was this high-speed chase, right? And I told him, look, it's not me that stole the car. It's not me that's doing this. It's sin living in me. It's my flesh. It's this outer man. It's my sinful nature that stole it, not who I really am. And the cop backs up and goes, oh, okay, wait a minute. I know about Romans 7. I studied that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to arrest who you really are. I'm just going to arrest your flesh. Take a joke. And so you can see that this is not a cop-out. He's identifying this selfish nature that we have in seeing what on earth is going on within us, right? I mean, you ever notice how we're naturally selfish? You ever notice it when you're in the middle of traffic? Everyone else is the traffic. You ever notice that? I thought that was funny. But anyway. All right. Another case in point here. Look at Galatians here. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And here it is again, just rising up out of here. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. That's intense stuff right there. That's intense stuff. You know, the greatest opposition that Jesus came under was around his identity, was who he was as a person, his identity as the Son of God. And the same will be for you in your lives. The greatest opposition you will face, what will take the greatest faith, is going to be around your true identity of who God has made you to be in Christ. You know, the scripture says beautifully that God formed you in your mother's womb, right? He saw you. He knitted you. Like, what a precious person. He saw your frame. You know, he knows who he sees when he's looking at you and what he had in his heart for you to emerge as in this world. And the enemy fears your true identity. Fears your true identity. And so in this session, we are calling this session the Exiled King, because it's like there's been a hostile takeover, and it's like a king being overrun, and he somehow has survived the hostile takeover, and he is in exile, and so he lives on the outskirts, okay? And we have a new king, we have a new government, we have this new presence that's within us that is true royalty and has a whole new way of living. But on the outskirts is this exiled king, and he will take on like these attacks at certain times and a strategy to take back over. And sometimes he wins some battles from us. And this is what we're seeing with Paul. So with the exiled king, with that old government that used to run your life, where are some of the places that he would want you to go where he could kind of rein back in and have control, where he could try to step back in control and command? Where are some of those places that he would want you to go? Who are some of the people he would definitely want you in contact with, in connection with, to make sure you're friends with, communicating with? Who are those people? If this exiled king wants to get control of you again, how would he go about doing it? You know, what would be the best way for that to happen? So the exiled king, this old nature, this old part of us, is a very immature part of us. I know for me, I was an addict almost my whole life, and I can say that that side of me is very immature. And so in any situation, it's like that old man yells what to do. Someone pulls out in front of you in traffic, it yells at me what to do. Right? It's immature. It yells. It screams. It's the loudest response I have. I see the dope man in town. The old me yells what to do. So who whispers what to do? Which one is quiet, confident, and whispering out of a deep respect what I need to do? That's a big difference. In this, which one of these is going to operate out of instant gratification, like now, like there's a now, there's an anxiety now. We need this now, relief now. Which one is the now? Is it body? Is it the old nature? Is it that exiled king? It's now. Which one is about process, growth, layer upon layer? Build a foundation. Steady growth. Planting seeds. Watering. Being patient. And being still, right? Which one is going to take the easiest way? Like, easy way. Which one's it going to be? Right? Which one's going to be hard way? Right? And these are the situations that we look at when we're looking at these two kingdoms and these two governments and the way they operate within us. This is our internal life. This false government, this exiled king will definitely send to you false messages. And they're very, very urgent. False messages. Usually regarding what we need to be okay right now. Usually. What I need. And here's how to get it. To false report. This exiled king here, this false government, offers me false refuge around every corner. And a false report of my situation and my standing, right? The exiled king, this part of us, loves to interpret my pain. Loves to tell me what it means. This pain you're experiencing, this problem you're in, the anguish you feel, let me tell you what it means. Right? Where this new nature, this divine nature, this new presence within me will interpret things for me, comfort me, remind me, give me the milk of the word. The milk of the word being all that God has done for me and provided for me. And the meat of the word being what he wants to do through my life to love other people. And so when Paul realizes that this is the state that we're in, that I'm a brand new person in Christ with a brand new identity trapped and encased in this selfish nature, he cries out this pitiful cry, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to rescue me from this? He just cries out. And we see and we will see how God has provided and given us everything we need to recover. In our future sessions here coming, we're going to be going through Romans 8, a life in the Spirit, how we walk this out. But it's really important for us to recognize this situation, and it usually begins with something like, I love the story of the woman caught in adultery, the way Jesus handled her, because he comes to her, and after he does the whoever you is without sin, cast the first stone. And they all drop their stones. And he says to her, where are your accusers? Right? Where are those that condemn you? And he tells her, I'm not going to condemn you either. I don't condemn you either. Right? And what I love about that from my history that I needed so bad is he says those accusers that are around you, that were around her, those who will point their finger at you and the things that you have done, the sins you've committed, the harm you've brought to people, the things you've done that have hurt others, which I have been part of, that I had weighing on me like just a ton. And those accusers that would point and say, you're an adulterer. You're a sinner. Who are you? When Jesus says to them, he says to this woman, in essence, he says, all those that stand and accuse you, I'll deal with them. This situation is between me and you. And he dealt with her. And so I could focus all my attention on the problem at hand, and that this is about me and God, and let him deal with the stuff going on around me. I needed that. I needed that. So this is kind of the 30,000 foot view of the situation we're in. Really, really important that we recognize who we are. We know our true identity and where we stand. And there are times when God is going to drop bombs on our flesh, on our outer nature, the selfish nature. He bombs it. He hates it. And he's going to rain down bombs on it. And you're going to say, God, you're hitting me. You know, you're harming me. And he's going to say, no, I'm not harming you. I'm not harming you at all. I'm after this. And it will feel like he's harming us. And so seeing the situation that we're in, that we are brand new persons in Christ, with war declared on us in this exiled king, in the situation, this is true war and true warfare. When you talk to sponsors that are around town, you talk to my sponsor Dave's here, and people that work with a lot of people, I love to ask them a lot of questions. And one of the number one reasons they see that people are defeated and they experience hostile takeovers and defeat in their lives, in their recovery, is the first reason normally is there's no plan. There's no plan, seeing this is the situation. He's made me a son. He's brought me into a family. And I have these intense struggles, and I have no plan to walk it out whatsoever. Planless. And some people float. You know, I'll go to a meeting here, I'll go to this group, but I'm not really going to commit to any of it. I'm just going to kind of float. And so no one really knows whether you're here or not. No one really misses you or notices what's going on because there's no commitment. And so it's very difficult. And it's easy to relapse and fall into it without anyone really noticing or knowing. We all need a path we're walking, is what I'm saying. We all need a path to be on and a tribe that knows the way and that supports us in what we're doing, right? And I don't know about you, but this whole us versus them mentality, I think, is very harmful to people. Where I had it for a long time, where it's like, if you weren't an addict, if you don't know what it's like to shoot up and you haven't had those problems, I don't really want to hear what you got to say. Like, that's kind of a bunch of nonsense, honestly. I mean, it makes sense on a surface level, but not really. Because I need more than ever to walk with people that know how to handle life, that do not do those things, that know how to consistently put away money without it tearing them up and sending them into relapse. Like, how do they do that? I don't know. How do you have money in your wallet? How do you have a cell phone with all these numbers in it without the number slowly turning against me and turning into a relapse? I don't know how to do that, but I know people that do, and they do it all the time. And I need to ask some questions. They know the healthy side of life. They know how to have a marriage where they don't cheat on their wives. You know, how do you do this? And we need people that have not done those things to ask, you know, questions to and show us how to live. And I'll just tell you this, in my recovery plan, if my wife goes on a trip for a couple of days and then comes back and no one knew she was gone, epic fail. You know, even if I did fine, that was a huge fail. That was an enormous mistake for me to allow that to happen. And I want you to know it doesn't happen because I really care about my recovery. And if she's going on a trip, I am planning. I am watching for this hostile takeover, for this surge of attack in these moments that I know I don't want to be alone. You know, and I do a countdown. I talk to Dave. I don't panic. I'm not like flipping out and flopping like a fish, but I'm talking to him about it. You know, I'm talking to him about it. People know. If someone hands me $50 cash, and within an hour someone doesn't know about it, I'm an idiot. I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm just asking for problems. If I pocket that money and then I don't say a word, here it comes, guys. You know, I don't know who's going to be speaking here in the weeks to come because it won't be me, right? I'm just telling you how I operate because that's you know, one of the things about a plan and understanding. And I'll tell you that one of the reasons why that's so important to me is I just want you guys to know this. I will be a man of God in my life. I will be a man of prayer. I will be a man of prayer. I will be a man that loves the Word of God and knows how to study and feed out of it, no matter how hard it seems to do that. I will be a man that does those things. Prayer will be an enormous part of my life. It will be. It will be. I will be a man of prayer. And I will be a man of the Word. And I... And I say that because there's some fear in there. Because 2 or 3 days can go by and I am not those things. And I go, whoa, you are learning how to not pray. Like, I'm always learning. I've just learned how to go 3 days without praying. Good job, Stan. Learn that well. I just learned how to go 4 days, 5 days without even reading the Word or going hitting my knees. I've learned how to do that. And I don't want to learn those things, and it scares me that I can. I can do that. And I don't want to be that. I am not going to be that guy. And I look myself in the eye all the time, and I tell myself, Stan, this is what you are going to be in your life. You are going to be these things. And it sounds a little militant, but I'm just saying, you know, how me and Dave and some of the people around me, the people I talk to, form these plans. You know, we watched a sitcom the other day being formed, and they got this giant room of people telling a story. You know, let's have the character run into an old classmate, and this is what's going to happen. And they're all think tanking around the storyline, and they're having such a blast. And by the end, it's super funny and it's super creative. And I'm like, what if we all could do that around each one of our recovery? We could all think tank around it and go, what's the problem that's going on? What's this week? What's going on? Where are you going to be? What's happening? Who's coming into your life? How's the attack going to come? And we're all just think tanking. And the guy just leaves bombed with God's love and this tribe speaking into his life. This is what we need. This is what I do. By sheer willpower, bugging people, calling people, you know, forming a plan. I'm after my true name. I want to live my true name. God holds your true name in heaven. And it's on a white stone. And white doesn't just mean a color. It's talking about what it is. It is a way that you are pure like no one else is. And you bring it on this earth like no one else can bring it for the Lord. And I want to walk in that true name that He has for me. I want to walk it out. I want to walk it out. The other thing that we see that goes wrong is people not being consistent. You know, I'm going to go to a meeting here, or I'm going to do a study here, but not making themselves walk things out, being consistent. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys have seen it, but like I remember a couple of times my daughter's like, I'm going to start working out. And she'll work out, and I'll see it coming, and I'll just sit back, go, here it comes, you know, and it'll be like a 3-hour workout in a day, you know, the leotards, the whole, oh. And I'm like, here it comes. And the next day it's like, oh, like I can't even move. Like, I'm like, you know, it'd be better if you did 10 minutes a day for the next year than what just happened. Like, that was a train wreck, right? It's super funny. Being consistent in small things, strategically placed and building them to that vision that you have of what you're saying, I'm going to be this in my life. I am going to be this type of person and forming those decisions around that. Cleaning house around the nouns, right? Persons, places, things, out, get out, go clean house, let it fly, right? I could let him walk through my house right now and pick through every little part, and I'm not embarrassed about one thing he would find. And I'm not saying that to brag, I'm just saying cleaning out the nouns of persons, places, things that are going to hinder what Stan says he's going to be in walking out my new name, my true identity, now all that God's done for me to bring me into his family and being that, walking that out. Bringing in the nouns, right? The persons, places, things that I want in my life, I need in my life. One thing Dave and I were talking about the other day was edging behaviors, right? Those edging behaviors where I'm not doing the deed, but I'm edging. I'm on the edges. Like I'm taking a peek. You know, I'm right there on the edge and beginning to treat those things as if they are relapses themselves. Why am I edging? You know, what's going on in here? What am I thinking? And what am I believing right now? Where am I at here with this? And being really hard about that and getting those things out. Someone asked me the other day, and this is a really good point. Stan, how do you even know that you're growing as a person? I mean, for crying out loud, you got filters on your computers. You don't carry hardly any money in your wallet ever. You don't have a cell phone. You got all these straps, chains, filters. You know, what happened if you ever just let Stan go? You know, like, you know, what kind of recovery is that you have there? Didn't seem real impressive to me, right? You know, I had to think about that. It was a really good statement, right? And my thing is, in all honesty, I used to just walk into things. I used to walk into things. Oh, man, I'm falling. Oh, I'm around drugs. Oh, wow, I'm in this situation. Oh, I'm in jail. You know, like I used to just kind of walk into stuff. And I've done enough and I know enough about what's going to happen that I recognize my weaknesses. And so I tell my wife, you know what, I think I need a filter on my computer because I don't want to deal with this. You know, I've got the world's largest porn shop right at my fingertips. And if you had the largest porn stash in the world right under your bed, how well would you do for how long? Like you might go a few months and do fine, but how long until you take a peek under the bed, right? Just that one bad day. And we have that with one click. We've got it. I want a filter. You know, and I want to cover that. I don't want that to be part of my life. I want to move beyond that in my life. And so I'm going to take some measures. I'm going to cut off access points. I'm going to put up some barriers in my life. So I have learned where I'm weak and, you know, probably even surprised at more weaknesses I'm discovering, but I'm trying to take precautions to walk it out. I don't just rely on those things. Believe me, there are plenty of chances in this life for us to fall in many, many ways. I'm flexing my muscles like anybody else is in life. You know, if I want to fall or if you want to fall, not a whole lot going to stop you if that's what you're going to do. So that's kind of my answer to some of that. I put on here New Man Radio, right? Listening to New Man Radio. This has a radio station broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a new man in Christ. I'm a brand new creation. I'm a son. He's bought me into his kingdom. It's seeking first his kingdom. What's important to God? Thinking God thoughts. Thinking spiritual thoughts. Thinking thoughts that feed me. You know, all these things. But guess what? You know, Exiled King Radio is also being broadcast 24/7 too. I can tune right into it. You know, it's right there. In fact, it's easy to tune into that station and begin playing old man radio. Pretty soon I'm feeling old man feelings. And now all of a sudden I'm doing old man things. And then I'm convinced I am the old man. And I'm right back to, I'm a slave to sin back here, Romans 7:14. I got to go through that whole thing again. So I just want to say that the old person that we were, this old nature offers us a false refuge, false answers, and God has something so much more for us. And I don't know about you, I have on here this thing where I thought my recovery was going to go from here to here, and then up here I would be in recovery and just be rocking, and it would be like that. And I don't know about you, my recovery hasn't gone like that. My recovery looks more like the Tanana River from like an airplane, you know, or the Chena River where it's like, you know, that's more where it's like, you know, how did you go 20 miles in 1 mile? Like, but I want to say that in these upcoming sessions, you know, we want to talk about life in the spirit, living in the Spirit, walking out this new identity, who God has made us to be, how God sees us, and the power and the presence that He has given us to walk this out. You know, we're not just encased in hopelessness. And so I'm super excited about that. Next week, we have Don and Michelle are going to come, and they're going to make it rain in this place. So I'm really, really excited about it. So I can't wait to hear what they're going to bring. But then we're going to start walking out this process. And I think I even have a new diagram, right? Let me pray. Father, thank you for giving us a new identity. Help us just see that simple fact of our true new identity, who we really are. Help us get that vision of it and get up and go after it. Get some people around us, speak into our lives, form a plan. Thank you, God, for the people in this room. They are mighty, mighty people, and I just feel it tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.